Well, I've had a few of you ask me if I could start out one of my sermons like my husband does with a joke. Now, I'm not as funny as he is, but our outreach pastor, Lynn Lopez, months ago gave me a joke that's actually been tucked in my Bible, and it is perfect for this marriage series. So I'm going to share it with you today, and please let my husband know when you see him that my joke is better than his, okay? Struggling to make ends meet on a pastor's salary, the pastor was livid when he confronted his wife with a receipt for $250 for a dress that she had purchased. "How could you do this? You know how tight our finances are." "Well, I was outside looking at the dress through the window, and then I found myself trying it on," she explained. "It was like Satan whispering in my ear, 'You look fabulous in that dress. Buy it.'" "Well," the pastor replied, "you know how I deal with that kind of temptation. I say, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" She said, "I did. But then Satan said, 'It looks great from back here, too.'" Well, there you go. Yes, thank you. That deserves a clap. Thank you, Pastor Lynn, for giving me that joke. It is, like I said, it was perfect for our series that we're in. Well, we are in week 3 of our marriage series, and are you enjoying it so far? Wonderful. I know even preaching and digging into God's word, getting this series ready for you, that God is stepping on my toes a little bit, which I think is okay. We all need that from time to time. We never stop learning and growing, do we? Well, when I was fasting for my last message that I preached a few weeks ago, I not only fasted once, but twice. I usually do a 3-day fast just to get clarity on where God wants me to take the direction of my message, but I didn't feel like I was getting that clarity. So I fasted a second time, and you all know, because I've shared it before, I am the world's worst faster. I hate doing it. I love food, okay? I don't like giving food up or anything like that. Well, during my second fast, I was in the shower praying, which is where all of us moms do our best prayer, right? In the shower. And I have not been given points of a message so quickly and so clearly. I mean, I jumped out of the shower and I put them in my notes in my phone as soon as I could because I was like, oh my goodness, like God just boom, 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 like gave them to me so quickly. So I was excited because I felt like I had finally gotten an answer on clarity on where he wanted me to take my message. Well, when I sat down to write it, you guys, it was so long. Like, just, I was trying to condense it, and I felt like I was hurrying through so I could share all this information that I felt like I had. And my husband came home, and I shared with him. I said, "I'm so frustrated." So I shared the story I just shared with you. I said, "I fasted twice, and I had clarity, and now it's too long, and I don't know what to do." And this is why I share stuff with my husband, because he is so wise, and he has done this for a while. And within seconds, he's like, "Well, I can take a look at your message, but I'm sure it's 2 messages." I was like, really? I mean, at that point, it was like a light bulb went off and it all made sense. That is why God had me not fast once, but twice. It's because I had 2 separate messages. And the kicker on that was we didn't even have our marriage series planned out yet. And he said, "It's on marriage." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I think you have 2 messages." And God gave me messages on marriage also. We did not coordinate that. So that is how God works. I love it. So you are in for a treat today, because when God gave me these points in my message to share with you, I sat back and could not believe how true they are. So I am excited. Are you ready this morning? The name of my message today is Rebuke the Devourer. God, I pray that through my message and through my words, Lord, that you would change and transform lives. I pray that you would just bring a calmness over me now and help me to deliver the word that you have given me clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am not dumb. I know as much as God is for you in your marriages, I also know that there is an enemy who seeks to devour you and hopefully tear your marriage apart. John 10:10 tells us the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. God showed me 4 things that we as couples can choose to do so that we rebuke what the enemy is trying to do and put power back into your marriages. And when he showed me these things, I was truly in awe, because Matt and I have done these things our whole marriage and God has always been faithful. Does that mean that we have gone without problems in our marriage? Absolutely not. There is no such thing as a problemless marriage. And if you have figured it out, you need to share the tricks with me, okay? Don't hide them. So if you are not doing these four things faithfully in your marriage and you are struggling, I want to challenge you. For at least a whole month, I want you to start applying these things in your marriage and your home together as a couple and watch what God does. It is time, men, to lead your family. And women, it is time to walk alongside your husband and encourage him to do these things as well. We as married couples are a team. We talked about that. The two shall become one. Let's take the power away from the enemy and get it back. How does that sound? The first thing that God showed me, again, I'm just the messenger. These things will not keep you out of heaven. If you do not do these things, it will not keep you out of heaven. There is only one way to heaven, which is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You have to accept him into your life. However, this will put power back into your marriages. So again, I am the messenger. Do not kill me, okay? These are things that God showed me to share with you today. So the first one is tithing. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord, and it is holy to the Lord." The word tithe means 10%. God commands us as his followers to tithe. We are to give 10% back to him what he has blessed us with. My husband has spoken on this many times. God doesn't need your money, okay? He doesn't need it. He wants what is attached to it, which is our hearts. There is power in surrendering your hearts to God as a united couple with your finances, and that opens the doors to blessings on your marriage. I can prove it. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. It says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." You know, if I am being honest, tithing is always something that Matt and I have done without question. We give our tithes and sometimes offerings, but we have struggled financially for most of our marriage. I mean, first of all, you don't go into ministry for money. It was very uncommon for him to make such a large salary like we did living in Phoenix. Normally, pastors don't make that large of a salary, and that is okay. As many of you know, the more you make, the more you spend. Our country doesn't have an income problem. If we are being honest, we have a spending problem. I remember several months ago, it seemed like our finances were once again being tested. I had to have some dental work done, and if you've ever had that done, you're not talking hundreds, you're talking thousands of dollars that I had to have done. And then Matt's truck brakes went out like a week later, and funny side note here, how we found this out is he came home and he said, "Hey, I think my truck brakes are out or going out." And I said, "Okay." So I'm sitting in the front room and he goes out to the garage and I hear his car start, and then I hear a screech and then I hear a crunch. And so I run to the door and he's coming in the garage, just, you know, very casually. And I said, "What just happened?" He said, "Yeah, I was right. My truck brakes are out." I was like, awesome. Better to run, I guess, in the front of the garage than in a car in front of you on the street. So that's how we found out that they were out. That was fun. And then it was about a week later that my brakes on my vehicle went out, so they replaced the brakes and the rotors. And you know how it is. It feels like everything happens at once, and you blink, and several thousand dollars later, you feel like if one more thing comes up, we are going to now have to put it on credit because your savings is almost gone. I mean, it takes years, right? Sometimes to build that savings up, and within days, it can be gone. That's a hard place to be, right? So I was letting God have it. As a matter of fact, I won't forget it because I was driving on military to the church. I was going from home to come into work. And I said, God, there are people that don't attend your church. They never tithe their money. And they drive these fancy cars and take their families on vacations. And I can't afford any of that, God. So I was having a little pity party in the car. Do you ever do that with God? I'm glad I'm not the only one, right? I was just letting God have it. Again, I'm like, that is not fair, God. And as clearly as I can hear him, he said, they have gotten their reward. Meaning their reward isn't eternal. I can't take a fancy car to heaven with me. I can go on a vacation and maybe have the memories. You can't take that stuff to heaven with me. Can you imagine the vacation we're going to have when we finally get to heaven? That will be a vacation. I'm going to have a Starbucks next to my mansion, I'm pretty sure. I will not be complaining to God about our finances again. Instead, I'm going to ask him to help me be a good steward with the money that he does entrust to us as a couple, and I will continue to pay my tithes and offerings and remember how blessed I am. I know that when we pay our tithe, like Matt has preached on before, that God will bless the other 90% that he does allow us to keep. It doesn't make sense on paper, but it always goes further. We have never went without food or a nice warm house for our kids to sleep in. We have always had what we needed. Also, I have learned that he doesn't just bless your money, but I truly believe that paying your tithe has so many more benefits. I look back at when our kids were little, and I can name maybe 10 times total that they had to be put on medication. Some of that, yes, is the way that I fed my children. I fed them a lot of, you know, I say foods that grow from the ground or have a mother, right? They didn't get all the sugary drinks in the house, stuff like that. As a matter of fact, their options were skim milk and water. So I think it's Jalissa that always says, so our options are water and water. I will not apologize for feeding you healthy. You are welcome. We just function better when we eat the way God intended us to. That's another message for you. But God, I lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. But I also know that part of paying our tithes came with God's protection and blessing of him keeping our children healthy. God has rebuked the devourer. We also rarely have vehicle problems. What happened a few weeks ago was very uncommon. We don't have that happen very often. And when we do, he always provides the finances. Our marriage is strong, and when I lay my head on my pillow at the end of the day, I know that God is watching over my home, my children, my finances, and my marriage. And I don't know about you, but that is a peace worth having. I can name multiple times that extra money has come in unexpectedly, and we think, yes, we can like get our emergency fund built back up, or we have plans for it. And I kid you not, it always happens this way. Usually within the first few hours or days, something breaks down or we need to use it for something else. Not what we want to spend it on, but God always provides. Once again, being faithful in our tithe, God has rebuked the devourer. God at times has even provided our wants and desires, not just our needs. An example is when our girls were little, I always wanted them to have matching Christmas dresses for our Christmas Eve service. Jordan's like, oh my gosh. I didn't tell anybody this, okay? I didn't share that I wanted to have dresses for my girls. This was just a year that we couldn't afford them. As a matter of fact, I didn't even ask Matt for the money because I knew that it would stress him out. So I just kept it to myself. And a dear lady from our church called me one day, and she said, hey, can I stop by the house? I have something to give you. And when I opened the door, you guys, she had two of the most beautiful matching Christmas dresses for my girls. And again, she knew nothing about this. As a matter of fact, she said to me, you haven't gotten the dresses yet, have you? And I said, no. So I shared with her the story, and she just cried and cried. She couldn't believe how awesome our God is, but these were dresses that even if I could afford dresses, I couldn't have afforded those. God knew the desire of my heart, and he not only gave it to me, But you guys, he gave me his best. You can't tell me that when you are being obedient to God's word and tithing as a couple or as a family, that he isn't going to take care of you and rebuke the devourer. There are so many stories I could share with you this morning about things that he's done in our life financially, but we don't have the time. God will rebuke the devourer if you tithe. There is power in paying your tithe. The second thing that God showed me was prayer. We should not only be praying for our spouse, and I don't mean God change my spouse. I mean a genuine, God, how can I meet my spouse's needs today? Show me, God, how I can better serve them today. Kind of like we talked about a few weeks ago. I choose to serve my spouse. God, protect them. Give them your anointing wherever they go today. Show me how I can change, God, to meet their needs. My prayer time every morning starts out with thanking God for all he has done for me. Usually I have my coffee in my hand, and I kid you not, thank you, Jesus, for my coffee. It's the first thing I thank him for every morning. I thank him for my health and my family and good running vehicles and a warm home to sleep in. And then right after that, before I pray for anyone or anything else, I pray for my husband and then my children. So many times we look at it as we are in competition with our spouse, but that absolutely is not true. We are a united team. If he is winning at life, I am winning. If he is struggling, I am struggling. Mark 10, 6 through 8 says, "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So they are no longer two, but one flesh. The best thing you can do for your spouse is pray for them. Plus, it's kind of hard to be mad at somebody that you're praying for and asking God to show you how to meet their needs. I can't tell you one time that I was praying, being upset with my husband and having it out with God, that God said, "Yeah, you're right, Matt needs to change that." Never, never, in 23 years, never. He always shows me something that I need to change to meet his needs. Maybe the problem isn't them anyway. Maybe it's you and your attitude. There is power in praying for your spouse. If your spouse is getting ready for a big day and they have lots going on at work or something that they're nervous about, pray for them. Ask them, "Hey, before you leave for work, can I pray for you?" Now, I remember how awkward this was at first before we started this, right? Because they know you better than anybody else. Besides Jesus, your spouse knows it all. The good, the bad, the ugly, right? They see everything. So at first, you're kind of like, who am I to pray for them? They know all my faults. So it can be a little weird. But I promise you, the more you do it, the easier it gets. So next time your spouse has something difficult that they are walking into that day, ask them if you can pray with them before they leave. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17, "Rejoice always, pray continually." We should constantly, throughout the day, as we think about our spouse, to pray for them. If you don't pray for your spouse every single day, this is your reminder this morning to start doing it. Make time for it. Put it on your calendar. God will rebuke the devourer if you pray. There is power in prayer. The third thing that God showed me was serving. Matt and I were new to our walk in faith and maybe saved for 2 months total when I started taking over the volunteer nursery coordinator position. And he started teaching a high school Sunday school class like he shared a few weeks back. And there was two kids in this class, and one of the two kids was my classmate. Talk about weird, okay? Matt took over the kids department and started to help with the bookkeeping as well. We knew very little about the Bible because we did not grow up in church, but we were there every time the doors were opened and we served. We put in countless hours volunteering and making sure that the vision of the pastor was being met, and we haven't stopped since. Every church that we have been at, I have either volunteered or he has volunteered or been on staff. We have always served together as a couple and as a family. As a matter of fact, when our kids were little, we took them everywhere with us. We didn't have family around to help out with the kids, so wherever mom and dad went, they went. And I remember Jace, he was born the middle of May, and Matt and I always did a vacation Bible school. They were hundreds of kids, very well attended, so it was a lot of work behind the scenes. And we always did this like the first week or two of June. So I had just had a baby, so I stayed home and took it easy. Just kidding, I didn't. I absolutely did not. You better believe that I strapped that little boy. Should we try that again, Jace, right now? Strapped him on my chest in one of those little carriers, and off I went to vacation Bible school Monday through Friday with a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and my newborn child. We left about 7 a.m. every day and didn't get back until about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So you know it. I had to pack snacks and food and a diaper bag and extra clothes for them and for me so that we didn't have to take trips back home. This was before I started drinking coffee. So I'm not even sure how I knew how to put my own pants on. I mean, seriously, I didn't discover coffee until I was in my 20s. And I'm like, how did I function? Like, how did I do that? And I tease now and say that ministry drove me to drink coffee. I drink coffee. There were many times, especially in Colorado, being on the streets and ministering to the gangs, and that my children heard and saw things that I didn't necessarily want them to hear or see. But what I knew was this: they weren't mine anyway. Our children are a gift from God, and he entrusts them to us to raise them. So I did my very best to show them what Jesus's call on our lives as a family was. Yes, as a family, the whole family gets called, which was to serve others and to love others, even if that meant they were in areas of town that were not considered the safest. I knew it was God's job to keep them safe as Matt and I were obedient to the call. My kids saw how to love people firsthand and how to be Jesus with skin on. And this seemed to Matt and myself as a great opportunity to teach them right from wrong. I mean, some of the conversations that we had in our vehicle or when we got home about things that they maybe heard or saw when we were out on the streets was just a good opportunity for me to teach them how to do it differently as a Christ follower and what that looked like. But our kids caught the vision. When they were little and we would do what we called a blitz, which was to take one of our box trucks that flipped down out into the rougher neighborhoods, we'd hand out things like food, water, diaper, household cleaning items, paper products, kind of like we do out the front doors of our church here during the week. There was one time our kids went through all of their toys late the night before. They actually got in trouble. So we're like, why are you doing all this? You got to pick up, not take stuff out. And they were like, we're getting toys for the kids tomorrow. They had packed up a bunch of their toys for the blitz the next night. We never asked them to do that. Jordan, at age 13, was teaching a kindergarten class for us, and Jalissa and Jace started serving in the nursery at around 6 or 7 alongside of me. I mean, as soon as they could hold a baby, they wanted to help mom. Our kids still serve faithfully at church now. Jordan rides a bus on Wednesday nights with her dad and I, and she teaches a high school group with me as well. Jace helps in the kids' department on Wednesday night and the nursery one Sunday a month, and also runs the cameras sometimes on Sunday mornings. Jalissa and her boyfriend Alex do nursery once a month as well as help with the kids' check-in. You guys, we have never forced our kids to serve. We don't tell them you must serve. They know that they get to serve. Even Jesus came to serve. When we serve others, it is a selfless act. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. What does serving together do? It takes the focus off of you and puts it on other people. God will rebuke the devourer when you serve as a couple. There is power in serving God's kingdom together. And the last one that God showed me was presence. There's two parts to this one. First is being present in God's house. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be in God's house. We cannot find encouragement or encourage others if we are never here. There is an anointing that happens when we gather together as a couple with God's people to worship our King. Now, I'm not talking about if you have to work, okay? Don't be throwing your text message at me later today or an email. That's not what I'm talking about. If you have to work, I understand. God knows how hard it is to make ends meet these days. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But what I am talking about is if you wake up and you're just tired, or you were out late the night before with some friends, or you just don't feel like getting ready, then I'm telling you there needs to be a change. You should make Sunday a priority and getting to God's house as a family. Start your week off right. Being in God's word and praying on your own every day is important, and you should do those things. But Sunday is the day to worship with other believers. I can count on both hands how many times in the last 23 years that we have missed church. You might not think that you need encouragement from anybody that day. You think, I'm doing just fine. I don't need to go to church. I don't need anybody to encourage me. But let me ask you this. What if God wants to use you to encourage somebody else and you are not here to do it? It is important to be present in God's house. The second part of this is being present with your spouse. In today's society, this one is difficult. There are times when you are busy as a couple and maybe you have little kids at home and they need your attention. I get that. It's life. It's only a season, okay? We're done with that season. We don't have to worry about that anymore, but we went through that season and it can be very difficult. But there are also times when you need to make your spouse a priority, meaning leave work at work, put down the cell phone, turn off the TV, and let's go old school. We're going to look each other in the eyes. Make eye contact with one another and listen to what your spouse has to say. It can be hard to feel like what you have to say is important to your spouse when they are answering you, but doing this at the same time. Put it down. We are adults. We can choose to put our devices down and look at your spouse. This shows them that what they are saying to you is important to you. Be a there you are kind of person when they come home. Feeling like you can truly connect with your spouse in our busy society is crucial. And so many couples are struggling because of this very thing right here. Technology is great, but it also, there's a time for it, right? It's also caused a lot of issues. Being in the same room with your spouse and being on your devices might be okay for you. That might be fulfilling to you, but maybe not to your spouse, especially if their love language is quality time. Which, side note, if you have no idea what your love language is, I highly suggest you take the love languages test and find out what you are. I think you can still find it online for free. It helps you to know how your spouse truly connects with you. It's an excellent teaching. Matt and I have taught it several times in our marriage classes. Matt and I go on a date every Saturday morning. We drive to Appleton to a place there called SAP, Amazing Farm to Table Food, or as Matt calls it, Kyla Food. If you have never been there, check it out. Really good food, great atmosphere. We sit at a table, we drink coffee, wait for our breakfast, play a game, and just talk. That makes me sound really old. No email. You are. Somebody trip her on the way out today. No emails or text messages are being answered. We are giving each other our undivided attention, and I look forward to this, you guys, all week long. As you know, your pastor is busy. We don't even see him at home a lot of times. So when I can have that undivided attention with him, I just love it. We have done this since our kids were babies. We didn't look at it as an expense, but an investment into our marriage. Because eventually those little rugrats are going to grow up and they're going to move out. And you have to still like each other. This is so important as a couple. Being present without distractions, taking time for one another, and being fully present. God will rebuke the devourer when you are present. There is power in being present in God's house and to your spouse. The enemy is the devourer, and to rebuke him in our marriages and put power back into our hands, we need to do these four things as a couple. This is a wake-up call and challenge. To put God first and rebuke the devourer in our marriages, I want you to do these four things together. Like I said earlier, I challenge you as a couple to apply all of these things faithfully to your marriage for at least a month or two and watch what God does. You say, well, that's great, Kyla, but what if my spouse isn't willing to do these things with me? Or maybe your spouse isn't ever in church and you ask, how in the world can I apply these things? Well, I have good news for you. You don't need your spouse to pray for them. They don't need to be in the room. You can do that on your own. You can come to church faithfully and be present on your own. And I don't mean like bashing your spouse, well, I'm going to church and you aren't. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not the way to do it. Quietly go to church and be obedient to God on your own. You can serve God's house faithfully on your own. And if you are able to tithe to God's house without your spouse, then I encourage you to do it. Start praying for your spouse every day and ask God how you can better serve them and ask him to help you, to show you what to do. If you ask him for wisdom, he'll give it to you. God wants to not only give you a healthy marriage, but he wants to show your children how a marriage his way looks. They are watching. When we get married, it isn't the end goal. We shouldn't not pursue our spouse anymore. You should continue to pursue one another towards being the best Christ examples to others around us, starting with your children and your family. Being a Christian should be exciting, especially a married one. Marriage, when it is done right, like Matt shared last week, it is beautiful. It is awesome when it is done right. God intended marriage for good. People who are watching you in your marriage relationship should see the love of Christ between you and your spouse and notice that there is something different about you and your love for one another. What a testimony we should be to the couple who is not a Christ follower yet. As Matt mentioned last week, we hear people say all the time, I'd never get married again. It's miserable. It was horrible. That's sad to me. I say I would never get married again either if anything happened to my husband, heaven forbid. Not because it was miserable, but because that man set the bar too high. I am blessed. When we tithe, when we pray, when we serve, when we're present in God's house and in our relationship to our spouse, God will rebuke the devourer in your marriage. If you're in here today or watching online with your spouse and you think, man, we only do one or maybe two of these things, again, I encourage you today, I challenge you, grab hands and unite as a couple and start applying these things in your marriage today and watch what God does. Pay your tithe. Pray for one another. Serve people faithfully. And be faithful to being present to God's house and to one another. God, I just pray for every couple in the room today and the couples that are watching online. God, I just pray that they wouldn't be, man, I'm glad my spouse heard this message, but that they would truly look at their hearts as applying this to their self. And I just ask, God, that you would just use this message today to transform the marriages in this room. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.